Menachos, Perek Yud Aleph, Mishnah Zayin, 11:7. Now, here we discuss the arranging of the lechem apanim on the shulchan, the golden table in the Kodesh, and its removal. The arrangement is a mitzvah d'oraisa, one of the targ mitzvahs, one of the 613. Okay, and let me just give you a basic overview of how this is going to work, so you can understand the Mishnah inside a little better. There is a requirement that the shulchan should have bread on it tamid. Now, the pasuk itself says, "V'nasata l'shulchan lechem panim lefanai tamid." And you will place on the special golden table the lechem panim before me, says Hashem, tamid. Now, what does tamid mean? There are two possibilities of the translation of tamid. Tamid and t'machokas tanaim. Tamid either means continuous or continual. What does that mean in English? What's the difference in those two words? So continuous means that something goes on without any break whatsoever. No interruptions. Okay? So if tamid means continuous, it means there can't be an instant without any bread on the table. Continual means that it repeats on and on and on, but there are pauses. Okay? So you can continually bother your brother. It's hard to continuously bother your brother because you're going to have to take a nap at some point. Okay? So if the pshat is that it's tamid means continual, that's Rabbi Yossi Shita, that will mean that as long as you don't have a day without the lechem panim being on the mizbech, it's called continual. Okay, it's called tamid. Okay, so that's a machlokes. In any case, what's going to happen therefore is that you're going to have essentially kohanim are going to come in carrying these two kohanim will carry the two stacks of six loaves. They're going to walk into the building, the heichal. That's in the western part of the temple complex. Okay, there's three parts to that heichal. There's the entrance, the ulam, the antechamber. Then further west, deeper in, there's the kodesh. And then further west than that is the kodesh kodashim. The shulchan exists in the kodesh, like I said before, on the northern side, okay, to the right if you're going in. The ulam is pretty empty, but it has two tables in it, okay? And the tables we mentioned in our Mishnah here. The table on the right side, meaning on the north as you're going in, was made of shayish, marble, and the table on the left side as you're going in is made out of gold. Those are used for holding the bread when they were not lechem apanim, when they were not on the golden shulchan in the kodesh. So what's going to happen is, kohanim are going to come with the stacks of bread, they're going to put them temporarily on the shayish, the marble table, just enough to sort of arrange things and make sure things in order, so it's very briefly. Then they're going to walk into the kodesh, and they're essentially gonna replace the old 12 loaves with the new 12 loaves. I'll remind you that before Shabbos, we remove the kanim, the supports that hold the stacks of the loaves, and actually the kohanim now will also remove the snifim, like the supports from the sides. So basically, you have essentially just have a stack of six loaves of bread sitting one on top of the other on a tabletop, effectively, with nothing in its way, okay? And then the kohanim that came in, they'll stand on the north side, they're going to essentially push the new loaves on, and the kohanim, there'll be two more kohanim who are going to take it off, the old loaves off, they'll stand essentially in the south, and they'll essentially pull, okay? So they'll be pulling and pushing at the same time, so that if you're going to hold it, tamid means continuous, there's never a moment when there's no bread on the table. That's the gist of the mission, okay? Let's see more details inside here. So again, Menachos Yud Aleph, Mishnah Zayin, 11:7 says Shnei Shulchanos Hayo Ba'ulam Mibifnim Al Pesach Habayis. There were two other tables besides the Shulchan. There are two other tables that are in the Ulam, the antechamber, Bifnim inside, not like in the called the far side, the inside of the antechamber, towards the Al Pesach Habayis at the entrance to the entrance of the Kodesh. Okay, now one of them. Echad shel shayish was made of marble, ve'echad shel zahav, and one was made of gold. Al shel shayish nosen lechem hapanim b'chnisaso. The marble one was used to store temporarily the lechem hapanim when they're being brought in, the new ones. Val shel zahav b'yitziyaso, and the golden one was used to store the 12 loaves as they were being brought out. I don't know if I mentioned it in the introduction. Let me just make sure it's clear now. This is done on every Shabbos. Okay, so every Shabbos, The old breads are taken out and the new breads are simultaneously put in. The mishmaros, the kohanim are divided into 24 mishmaros, 24 subgroups, okay? Each mishmar serves for 1 week. the rotation of the Mishmar happens on Shabbos. So essentially what's going to happen is the new Kohen will put the new ones on, the old Kohen will take the old, but those 12 loaves will be divided amongst the two Mishmaros, l'halacha, equally. Each will get 6 of the loaves, okay, on that Shabbos. So more on that inside here, says the Mishnah. The reason why, says the Mishnah, that we use a marble on the way in and a gold on the way out is because Shemalin Bakodesh Velo Moridan, because we go up in Kedusha, not down. And since the Shulchan itself, the main Shulchan Hazav in the Kodesh, is made of gold, so therefore we're going to go up from marble to gold, but then once we've some gold, we won't go down to marble, we'll put it back on from gold to gold. Ve'echad Shel Zahav Mibifnim, there was also a third table, it's called, this is the Shulchan, which is inside, meaning in the Kodesh, in the north side of the Kodesh, Sha'alav Lechem Hapanim Tamid. Upon it were the 12 loaves of bread, the 2 marachos were there, Tamid. Tamid, again, either continuous or continually. Arba Kohanim Nichnasim. Now, there are 4 Kohanim that would go in. Shnayim B'yadam Shnei Sedarim. 2 of them held, like I call it, 6 loaves each. Okay, so it's 2 vertical loaves of the 6 loaves of bread. Ushnayim B'yadam Shnei Bazichin. Remember, in addition to the 12 loaves of bread total, you had 2 bazichin, spoonfuls of lavona, frankincense. So 2 kohanim, each one would carry 1 of the bazichin, 1 of the spoons of lavona. Va'arba makdimun lefnehem. There were 4 other kohanim who preceded these 4. They went in first. Shnayim litol shnei sedarim. 2 were to take the 2 stacks of old breads from the previous week that have been there for a week now. Ushnayim litol shnei bazichin. And 2 other ones to take the, we'll call it the old spoons of frankincense that have been there all week. Hamachnisim omdim betzafon. The people who are bringing the new breads in will stand in the northern side of the Kodesh. North, they're coming in, that's the Avoda, and remember, the north is like the more sanctified, hence like, you know, Kachem, I stand on the northern side of the Azar and so on. So these guys will stand on the northern side. Ufnehem ledarom, they're facing south, like towards the table. Umotzien, and the guys who are removing the 12 loaves of bread, those 2 guys, omnim bedarom, they'll stand on the southern side of the table. Ufnehem letzafon, they're facing north, also facing towards the table. So these 2 groups of 2 kohanim are facing each other. Elu moshchen, ve'elu manichen, the 2 that are removing pull, and at the same time, basically the 2 that are putting put on at the same time. V'tifcho shel zeh k'neged tifcho shel zeh. Doesn't translate literally very well. It basically means every tefach that the old breads were removed, they were replaced by new breads. The idea conceptually is there's like not an instant where the table shulchan doesn't have the lechem apanim, the breads on it. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, lefanai tamid. The pasuk says it has to be tamid, and the Tanakhama holds that it has to be before Hashem tamid. That means it has to be before Hashem continuously without any break whatsoever, and therefore you have to do it in this very delicate way. Rabbi Yossi Omer, afilu elu notlin ve'elu manichin. Rabbi Yossi says it doesn't matter. You could just take them all off, and then after that, put them all on. In fact, you could take them, for that matter, take them off in the morning and put them all in the afternoon. So you have hours that there's nothing on the table. That's no problem. Afzu haisa tamid. It's also called tamid, says Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi says that tamid means just continual, like every day, repeating. And therefore, the fact that there's some hours during one day, there's no lechem abanim, is just no big deal. The Rambam goes like the Tanakhama, that it's done like, you know, simultaneously removed and added. However, there are others, like the Ritvo says, talk like the Rabbi, so you could just, tamid means, you know, you could put it in the morning and then remove in the morning and put new in the afternoon. Yatsu v'nasnu ala shulchan shel zahav shahaya bo'olam. Now, the removing Kohanim would take these 12 loaves from that have been there for a week now. They're going to go out, and they're going to put the loaves on the golden table in the ulam, right, on the exit, in the antechamber there. Now, unlike when it was on the marble on the shayach, which are just like for a moment, it was momentary. This will be a little longer because they have to now offer the bazichin, the spoonfuls of the lavona, on the mizbeach. So there's a waiting period, and the lavona, you recall, is the matir. It's what makes the bread permitted for the kohanim to eat it. So they're waiting for that to happen. Hiktiru habazichin. Once the contents of the 2 spoons of lavona have been put on the mizbeach and burned, then they come permitted. At that point, the 12 loaves will be divided amongst the Kohanim, la'alach, equally 6 of the 12 to the incoming group of the Mishmar and 6 to the outgoing Mishmar. Now, what happens if Chal Yom Kippurim li'os b'Shabbos? What happens if Yom Kippur falls out on the Shabbos? So now, obviously you can't be apportioning and eating those breads now on Shabbos because Yom Kippur, you can't eat on Yom Kippur. Therefore, hachalos mischalkos la'arev. The bread can just sit on the shulchan, the golden shulchan in the ulam, the antechamber, all day, and come motzi Shabbos, which is also Yom Kippur, at that point they'll give it out. They won't give it out ahead of time because they're afraid someone might eat the bread on accident. It's Yom Kippur, right? So you wait till afterwards. Now, that's the end of the Mishnah, effectively. The Mishnah has one more din here. This din has nothing to do with our topic. It's just a similar kind of din, and therefore we mentioned over here, which is a different point. Okay, the new point is, what happens if you have Shabbos and Yom Kippur falling back-to-back, where Yom Kippur is on a Friday and Shabbos is the day afterwards? So now, our calendars, which are fixed calendars, ready for since 358 of the Common Era, for you know hundreds of years, it's arranged that can't happen. We don't have 2 days, you can't cook food, you can't bury the dead, so Shabbos and Yom Kippur won't fall back-to-back. But in the time of the Mishnah, it was done, the calendar was set based on actually the observations of the new moon and the witnesses, and therefore it could happen, anything could happen. So it could happen that, indeed, Yom Kippur falls out on a Friday. And if that happens, you're going to have a problem. The problem is, there's one korban that's brought on Yom Kippur that must be eaten, okay? That is the chatas that's brought as a musaf. This is not the sir l'ashem, whatever. That is, the blood is offered in the inner mizbeach, and remember, it's burned. But there is, and there are some other musaf which are olos. But there is one chatas, which is the blood is offered on the Adam's mizbeach, like every Yom Tov, essentially. And it has to be eaten the day that it's offered or the night afterwards. There's no way around that. So if the day that it's offered is Yom Kippur, no one's eating it that day. The night afterwards is Shabbos, so that's the time to eat it. The problem is you can't cook it on Yom Kippur because there's a Isra Malach on Yom Kippur, and you can't cook it on Moti Yom Kippur because that's Shabbos, and there's Isra Malach on Yom on Shabbos as well. Therefore, the problem is you have meat that you have to eat, but the meat will have to be raw from that goat. So what's going to be? So the answer is, okay, that's what's going to have to be. Someone's going to have to eat it raw. That's what the Mishnah says inside. It says, Chalios Erev Shabbos, if Yom Kippur falls out on a Friday, Se'ir Shal Yom Kippurim Ne'echal La'arev, so then that one Musaf goat that's brought as a chatas that's on the Adar Mizbeach, which has to be eaten, it'll be eaten that night, meaning on Friday night. HaBavliim Ochlen Oso Keshu Chai Mipnei Shadat and Yafa. Who's going to eat it? These Bavliim are going to eat it because, well, when it's still raw, without cooking it, because they can't cook it, because they can, they're Datan Yafa, that means essentially that they're not squeamish, right? They're not grossed out or nauseated by eating raw meat, so therefore they're the guys who do it. Says the Gemara, who are these Bavliim? Although Bavliim literally means Babylonians, these are not Kohanim from Bavel. Of course, we're talking Kohanim here because it's only Kohanim can eat the male Kohanim can eat it in the Zara. But says the Gemara, these are actually Kohanim from Alexandria in Egypt. But because Chazal sort of looked askance at the Jews of Babylonia because they failed to come back with Ezra to move back to Eretz Yisrael, and because of that the Shechina never returned here, and because of that really since the first exile 2,500 years ago, the Jews have never been back in Israel, the majority have been a minority ever since then. So the Jews of Eretz Yisrael were like bitter about that. Why aren't you making Aliyah? Not so different than what happens today. The Jews should be in Israel, and you're not in Israel, so we look down upon you. And therefore, Bavliim became like a pejorative to talk about uncouth people, just like the same way we have like someone could be a Cretan or a Philistine in English. Doesn't mean they're really from Philistia or from Crete, right? But in any case, so same too. Bavliim just means like a pejorative for like uncouth person. So here we're talking about the Jews, the Kohanim that came from Alexandria. They're uncouth as much as they eat raw meat, so they'll eat it. And we'll just call them Bavliim as a borrowed term.